last week we talked about, Francis Chan says it, there are people that truly believe in their hearts that they are followers of Jesus, but their lives look nothing like his. And Francis Chan talks about this idea that a lot of people, even in our society, they claim to have some form of religion, or they claim to believe in Jesus, but then when you look at their lives, Jesus is not reflected. And last week we talked about this idea of the cost of discipleship. Jesus defined the type of relationship that he wants to have with me, the type of relationship he wants to have with you. Mark chapter 8, 34, he said, when the crowd gathered and the disciples came to him, he said, if anybody wishes to follow me, if anybody wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up your cross, and follow me. So we talked about this is going to be hard for a lot of people because Jesus is not calling you to something that might be really fun all the time. Sacrificial, denying yourself, self-denial. He's telling you, you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself a lot of things, and you got to take up your cross daily. And we talked about what it means to take up your cross. People that carry crosses in those days, they were going on the way to their deaths. And Jesus is even saying, are you willing to sacrifice yourself for me? Now, it's interesting, when you go through the Bible, all the imageries, all the metaphors or figures of speech utilized in the Bible to describe God's relationship to us is amazing. We talk about, for instance, God is our Father, we are His children. And perhaps you come from a family background that you didn't have a very good father. And so that analogy perhaps for you doesn't help you. But for a lot of people, understanding that God is our Father, He's the ultimate Father. I mean, Jesus said it in the model prayer. He says, when we pray, he said, our Father who are in heaven. So this idea that he's our dad and we are his kids, imageries through the Bible to guide us, to help us understand the relationship that we have with God. Through scripture, you hear about that he is the potter and we are the clay, that he's molding us, shaping us to be more like the people that he wants us to become. Other ones you see in the scripture is like the husband and wife, Yahweh or Jehovah, like people know him, talks about Israel. I'm your husband, you're my wife, and this love. The Bible talks about Jesus and the church, that Jesus, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, the bride of Christ. So all these metaphors and things like to guide us and help us understand really our relationship with God. You hear about vine and branches. John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches, and you have to be attached to me in order for you to produce fruit. Vine and branches. And then one of the greater ones that you find in scripture is the shepherd and the sheep. Now it's interesting, you were to do a study about shepherd and sheep. Most people that God called, they were shepherds. This Moses, David. And so many of the prophets were shepherds when God called them. And you know, shepherd was a professional in those days. Now, the Romans hated shepherds. They didn't like, dealing with sheep. But most people, so God utilized that because that's what people knew in those days. The shepherd and the sheep. And many of us know that famous passage in the Bible, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall be in no want. So, shepherd and sheep. Now, Jesus utilizes that analogy, that illustration in John 10, and that's the text that we're going to be looking at this morning. John chapter 10, and you have your Bibles with you. We're going to spend some time there. John 10, picking it up in verse 1, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, the NIV says it, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Now, this is not the first time you hear about that nobody understood what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about something, and it's like people just had no idea what he was saying. he utilized this metaphor. Or, you know, Jesus was a master talking about parables. The definition of a parable is an earthly story that has a spiritual meaning or heavenly meaning. That's really the definition we learn on Sunday school. So Jesus was a master telling people parables, and occasionally they had no idea what he was talking about. The disciples would come to Jesus and say, hey, explain to us what you were saying. So Jesus, in the context that we have right here in John 10, when you look at the previous chapter 9, he's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were religious leaders in those days. And the same people later on did everything in their power to kill Jesus. The Pharisees did not like Jesus at all. And Jesus utilized this parable to explain something to them. But it's interesting, when I go and look at that text, there are so many characteristics. There are some characteristics that I find here for us, disciples of Jesus today, into what it means to follow Jesus. And just bear with me as we go through John 10, this whole idea of Jesus the Good Shepherd. So he tells a story and nobody gets it. It says right there, John says, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand why he was telling them. And then verses 7 through following, Jesus is going to explain to them what it means. That's another thing too. When you read something in the Bible and you don't understand it first, keep on reading. Usually the explanation will come. And that's what he does right here in John 10. Then he goes on in verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired man and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, he said. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So this is the parable that Jesus talks about here. This illustration of the sheep and the shepherd. In both ways, chapter 10, verse 1, start, I tell you the truth. Verse 7, he says it again, I tell you the truth. Some translation will say it this way, truly, truly, I say to you. If you were to look up that word in the Greek, you will have the word, amen, amen, I say to you. It's interesting. But you know, some translations say, truly, truly, I mean, the amen means certainty, affirmation. Truly, truly, what I'm telling you is the truth, Jesus is saying right here to them. And then he says, since they didn't understand, finally he lays it out. He says, I am the gate by which the sheep go in and out. Jesus, the gate. Now it's interesting, this imagery that Jesus is giving to us. I mean, at one time he says, I'm the door that people need to go through. And so now referring to sheep, he says, I'm the gate. And in those days, I mean, something like that, you know, the pen, the sheepfold or pen that they would collect and gather all the sheep, it didn't have a roof. Sometimes they just get rocks together and the shepherd literally would place himself or herself at the gate. In other words, like if danger were to come to the sheep, we had to go through the shepherd. That's what Jesus has in mind. I'm the gate, so you're going to go in and out through me. And I'm laying myself, no wonder, see, I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm laying on the gate, the only entrance to that place, they had to go through me. He says, I'm the gate for the sheep, he said. And that's what it was. I mean, the shepherd had to be watchful just in case danger, the wolves would come and try to snatch out one of those sheep. So Some of the research indicates that sometimes people on top of those rocks, they will lay thorns so nobody else will climb and get, you know, they just try to protect themselves, but there was only one entrance. And who will be at the entrance? The shepherd. That's why he said, I'm the gate. So he's literally becoming a gate. Like if Louis will be at that door, Louis literally will become the gate. So people, if they want to enter through the church building, they had to go through him. Literally, he's acting as a gate right there. Any bad things happen, Louis will have to deal with first. Jesus had that in mind. He said, I'm the gate by which the sheep must enter. Now, as a gate, he's providing protection and provisions. In order to take you in and out, I had to get you through here. And any dangers will come, had to see me first. Nobody's going to take my sheep. There's safe access to find provision for the sheep through the gate. And you know, when I'm talking about this idea of Jesus utilizing the illustration of sheep and shepherd, I cannot help but think about Psalm 23. Because David was a shepherd. And then he now talks about Yahweh. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I should not be in want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. It's almost like he's the one providing for me. And it's a famous chapter for many of us. And even when you read the whole Psalm, you know, he leads me by still water. He comforts me. His staff comforts me. And David said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because he is with me. The shepherd is right there with me. The good shepherd. Now, it's interesting. Jesus used, I had a trouble when I was reading that because he used two words that we're familiar, thieves and robber, for many of us, but that's the same thing. Not in those days. Let me define it for you. Thieves. You know the movie The Lord of the Rings? Bilbo Baggins? He's a thief. Thief, and the word that we have is that they steal secretly. They can just come and steal. Nobody knew that, you know. Now, robber is like they use violence. One steals secretly. The other one steals like he makes a noise. He just comes and like at gunpoint says, give me what you have. That's a robber, according to the Bible. For many of us, like, well, still stealing. Yeah, they both steals, but one do it in a trickery way. The other one doesn't care. Everybody knows. And that's why Jesus used both. And there are different words in the Greek. Thieves and robbers, he's saying. And in verse 10, he says, the thieves come only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Salvation is, you got to enter through him. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly, says Jesus. He used the analogy in the first chapter 10 when he talks about that whoever climbs through any other means instead of going through the gate, he's a thief and a robber. He's saying anybody who came before me is a thief and a robber, Jesus is talking about. Those religious people, those false messiahs that came, they were not the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, it's interesting also when you do a study of all the I ams of Jesus, John would be the ideal book to study. How many times Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the life. I am the bread of... So many I ams just in that book. And so here we have a few. I am the gate by which you must enter. I am the good shepherd, he says. Why is he the good shepherd? I mean, he gives us reason right here. I lay down my life for the sheep. Literally, when you're laying down at the entrance, you're laying down your life for the sheep. You care enough about what you have in that you're protecting them. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. You are a good shepherd because you don't run away from danger. You stick around to resolve the conflict. You know, now it's interesting. The word shepherd means pastor. When you were to translate it into a modern. And I always think about how many pastors run away at the side of the first conflict that arises in church. And they don't even know how to resolve it. And that would categorize you as a bad shepherd. Because, you know, you don't run. When there's a sign of problem will come. Always will be with dealing with conflicts. But there are people that they're not good shepherds because they don't know how to resolve it. And perhaps at the side of conflict, they just go to a different church. Because they don't want to deal with that one in there. And Jesus said, you know, the hired hand, when the wolf comes, they just run away and forget about the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd, because you can find right here, he doesn't run away from danger or conflict. He resolves. It reminds me what David, King David, he wasn't a king yet, but he was a shepherd boy. He goes to Saul because Goliath is challenging the Israelites. And nobody's brave enough to go fight Goliath. David said, I go and fight him. And Saul said to him, you're only a shepherd boy. And then David said, I don't remember the exact scripture. Somewhere in 1 Samuel 17, David said these words. Your servant is a shepherd of my father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear comes against one of my sheep, I go after him. And if the lion or bear turns towards me, I kill him. That Goliath that's challenging the army of Israel, it's going to be just like one of them. I go fight him. That's a shepherd. That's a good shepherd. There's conflict, I'm ready to go. But you see, we have so many preachers out there that there's conflicts and they just don't want to deal with it. I tell you, that's a sign of bad shepherding. Because conflict's always going to happen and you have to be able to resolve them. Just say, I lay down my life for my sheep. No, nothing is going to take him. I'm right there. And he said, he gives the example of bad shepherds. He says, verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd, he says, who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flocks and scatters it. Why do you think a lot of churches are split? Because bad shepherding perhaps took place. Churches, we're always going to go through conflicts. The reason that we all gather here is because none of us is perfect. And we try to seek God even more to guide us and help us. Churches split up because perhaps they changed the carpet and some people complain and now they split up the whole church instead of dealing with it. And to me, that's ridiculous, but it happens. Oh, because we added drum to the music, to the praise team, and they split up a church. And because of lack of leadership, the church splits up. I mean, I'm told that this church went through a split at one time. And Marty can tell you what happened, what was the conflict that happened, and boom. Jesus said, those are there when they see the problem, they just run away, or they don't want to deal with it. When you don't want to deal with a conflict, even if you're married, let me just give you an advice. Don't bury that. Deal with that, because it's going to create into a cancer and eventually it's going to explode and you won't be able to resolve it later on. You deal with it the biblical way. You have to. False shepherds run away at the first sight of trouble because they don't really care for the sheep, Jesus said. Now, the good shepherd has a close relationship with the sheep. And I hope that you can, whatever I'm telling you today, I hope that you can get this that Jesus talks about right now. He says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. When I hear that, that's relationship all over the place right here. In fact, when you look up the word know in the Bible, it has an intimate relationship. It's talking about like when you know somebody, there's a relationship. You might know, you know, you can say, if I ask you anybody, do you know LeBron James? You know facts about LeBron James, but you do not know him. You know, you understand what, you know your wife and you know your kids. We might know, you might know facts about an individual, but you don't know him true, closely, intimately. Jesus said, my sheep know me and I know them. They know me so well that they would run away from a stranger's voice. And that's true. You can just Google that right now. There's a video on YouTube. This guy, he's a shepherd. I don't know what country happened, but he's calling. There are people that come, you know, tourists, they gather and they begin to imitate the shepherd's voice, calling the sheep. They didn't come. And then he took that shepherd to come and start whistling, and all the sheep just gathered. And it reminded me what Jesus said. They hear my voice. They recognize a stranger's voice, even if you try to imitate it. To me, that's a close connection between the shepherd and the sheep. I know them, and that's true. God knows all of us. But the question is, do we know him? Not just facts about God, but do we truly know him? What it means is, do we have a relationship with God? You see, Christianity is not a religion. It's all about developing this relationship with the Savior. To know each other. You know how it is when your wife and you had a problem or something happens, eventually the word would say, yeah, it seems that I don't even know him anymore. Have you thought about that? Like he's a stranger now. Something happens there. Disrupted the communication, disrupted the relationship. Jesus said, my sheep know me, and I know them, and they hear my voice. So one of the things I learned from this passage today is that a true follower of Jesus knows him. If you're a true follower of Jesus, you know who he is. Remember one of the questions that Jesus asked people, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? And if your answer will be, well, I think that, well, people have been telling me you're a prophet. So Jesus want a personal answer from you. Who do you say I am? And it was Peter said, you are the Christ. And Thomas later on says, you are my God and my Savior. There's a connection right here. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, they might know facts about Jesus, but they don't know him as a personal Lord and Savior. My sheep know me. You're a true follower of Jesus. You got to know who he is. Remember, there are a lot of people who are following Jesus just because they wanted to see miracles, that they wanted to, that people were saying things about him, but they never, ever placed their trust in him. They never, ever really follow him because they believed in him or wanted to develop a connection or relationship with the Savior. To know Jesus is to be in a relationship with him. If you don't know him, Jesus said, then you are not one of my sheep. I love how Jesus lays it out. Like he's not even seeker sensitive at times. Well, I mean, when people say, I want to follow you, say, are you sure you want to do that? It's not going to be pretty. You know, one time somebody said, Lord, where are you staying? He said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not even have a place to lay his head. You want to follow me? It's not going to be. And you know, a lot of people in our society think that Christianity just go to church on Sunday. That's Christianity is more than a Sunday thing. Following Jesus, it might cost you life. That's the price that if you want to truly follow it, you have to be willing to pay. And he says right here, you know, to know me and I know my sheep, he says. So a true follower of Jesus knows Jesus. I love Paul. Some of the things he says, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection, like to really know you. But there's only one of the means that you and I can really get to know Jesus is going and study the Bible. And on Friday, we're talking about somebody asked the question, why is it that a lot of Christians don't even find time to read the Bible? So when you don't nurture that relationship, it's going to break. We got to nurture the relationship we have with the Lord to continue knowing him. He already knows everything about us and still loves us. I mean, Ryan was talking about, that's amazing that even when he knows that we're not doing the right thing, he still loves us and expects us to behave and come back to him again. So our job is to get to know him as much as we can. All the things that he has revealed through the pages of the Bible, scripture. So a true follower of Jesus truly knows Jesus. Remember in Matthew 7, when Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only he who does the will of the Father. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do miracles and serve people in your name? And at the end, Jesus said, yeah, I don't even know who you are. I never knew you. Remember those words? A true follower of Jesus knows Jesus and is known by Jesus. I never knew you. In other words, Jesus said, well, you and I never had a relationship. Why should I let you in my heaven? Because you said you were a good person, so I never, And I always ask, Lord, I want to know you because I already know you know me. I want to do my best to continue knowing you and broadcast you to those who do not know you. True follower of Jesus knows Jesus. And he's known by him. And also a true follower of Jesus hears Jesus' voice. And can distinguish Jesus' voice from among other voices around in the world shouting at you. You know how it is. Sometimes we got many voices. And even in our society, we get so distracted. So many voices shouting. And we cannot even distinguish which one is God's voice. Because we get so distracted. But Jesus said, you will recognize you're truly my follower. You will know what I'm calling. You will know that when I'm saying, hey, come. And you will come. You will know my voice. Jesus even said it. My sheep do not run after a stranger's voice. They know me and they recognize my voice. So, I mean, think about how many Christians sometimes they just go with the flow and forget about the shepherd is calling you. And he knows us by name. So a true follower of Jesus hears and follows the shepherd. It's interesting when Jesus talking about to this group of people, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. Listen to what he told them in verse 26 of the same chapter. Verse 26, Jesus said to them, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep," verse 27, "listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So, I mean, that's one of the characteristics, some of the characteristics of followers of Jesus. They know Jesus. I mean, I'm not saying knowing about Jesus. You know Jesus. You have a personal relationship with him and you hear his voice. You follow him. You listen to his voice. You listen to his commands. Whatever he's telling you to do, you go and do it. You do not question that. You just go with the shepherd. And he told those people, "You don't believe in me because, yeah, you're not even my sheep." What he's saying, to be a sheep, you had of the shepherd, you had to believe in him. You know, you cannot claim to be a sheep of Jesus, one of his followers, when you don't even believe in him. Let me read it again. He says, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep," he told the religious leaders. And then he says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life," Jesus said. So the question that you and I had to wrestle with, you see the relationship that we're talking about, sheep and shepherd. Do you have that connection with him? Do you know him? And do you follow him? I asked that question two weeks ago, like, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? I mean, it's like some people did not know how to answer, but it's like, or maybe nobody ever asked them. But have you ever thought about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And somebody said, well, you know, at least you pattern yourself by him. You follow whatever he leads, whatever he tells you to try to do. And that's what it was. I mean, people just, when they were followers of Jesus, whatever Jesus went, they follow. So whatever Jesus is leading me, I will go. It's like the song, "Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Where you move, I move. I will follow you." That's what the song says. Jesus said in John, the same book, "How do you know that you love Jesus? By obeying his commands, by following his instructions." And Jesus, even in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, he says, "Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So follower Jesus follows really what Jesus is telling us to do. Obey his teachings. You know how many preachers that want to twist the Bible to make it more palatable to them? That's not following Jesus. You're following your own desire. You're following your own things, your own agenda. There's a lot of agendas in our nation today. Even when it comes to the Word of God, I heard somebody tried to create a Bible to get some of the bad stuff of the Bible out, to get the same Word. I guess you don't want to deal with that. That's not following Jesus. Because if you follow Jesus, you hear what he says, not what the preacher is saying. I don't want people to follow me. My job is just to tell you what you need to do. And my job is just to encourage you, like just, you know, Paul even said it, follow my example as I follow Christ. That you can follow about me, how I follow Jesus, but don't follow everything about me. Because I don't want that glory. That's for him. I want to point you in the right direction. I want to tell you what you and I need to do to get back on track to following Jesus, to develop this relationship with Jesus, that when we go through trials and tribulations, we know that our shepherd got our back. That David said, "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are there with me. And even when you have a rod for me," the rod, you know, that's used to like pull the sheep when they go. David said, "Your rod, it comforts me." Man, that's a shepherd. No wonder Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep," he says. So you and I, as true followers of Jesus, we had to know him and we had to follow what he's telling us to do. Look at how Jesus concludes that. He said, "I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also, and there will be one day, one flock, and one shepherd." And then he talks about, "I lay down my life only to take it up again." He's already talking about the resurrection. Now you see, Jesus, such a great shepherd, he lays down his life. He's willing to sacrifice himself for the sheep. And he did it not just for his sheep. Jesus Christ died for the whole world, but not everybody becomes his sheep. You understand what I'm talking about? He died for everybody, but only who become Jesus' sheep? Those who believe. And if you are one of those, then you know him and then you follow his voice. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He says, I lay down my life, and he did that willingly. Jesus didn't have to die. He died because he loved us that much. Now, there are people who claim to follow Jesus, like I said, but they don't know Jesus. They have not developed a relationship with him. Jesus' death on the cross made it possible for everyone to be able to become one of his children, one of his people. But only those who believe in him become his followers, his sheep. No, the question will be, you and I can, you can take home with you. How do you know that you are one of his followers? And I think I just answered that. How do I know that I am one of his followers? Just looking at that text that we're examining today, how do I know that I'm a follower of Jesus? I know him. I mean, you got to know him to the point that you can introduce him to other people. You know how it is when you know a friend, say, hey, this is my friend so-and-so, you know, and you give him a background. You know, like, do you know Jesus like that? Somebody said, well, I don't know much about Jesus. Oh, you want to... Boom, this is Jesus Christ, and you introduce him to other people. You have to be able to know him that well that you can introduce him to somebody else. If you cannot introduce your friends, well, you don't know your friends very well. You know what I mean? So to know him like that, how do I know that I'm a follower of Jesus to be able to know him to the point that I can introduce him to other people? And also, how do I know that I'm a follower of Jesus? I'm following what he tells me to do. I'm following his word, his commands. That's how he says that I will show him that I love him. If you love me, he says, you will obey, you will keep my commands. Now, do you know him? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you hear his voice? He said, my sheep will follow me. They hear my voice, and I will give them eternal life. You know, he's truly the great shepherd. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, you want to know him, some of us be able to guide you, introduce him to you. I mean, we're not done learning about Jesus. We want to get to know him more and more each day. That's part of what God expects from you and I, that we continue to be, not just know Jesus, but that we continue to be more like him in our attitude, how we behave, how we talk to other people, that people can see Christ flowing through us. He's the only shepherd that will give us eternal life. He's my shepherd, and I hope that he is yours.